My name is Alan Steinfeld, and my program is called New Realities. Each week, I go deep into the understanding of how we can start to change the planet, how new ideas can be presented to the world to unfold a greater civilization. Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. I'm very happy to be joined by my good friend, Viola Rose. And we have a very interesting idea, discussion. What would you call today's conversation, Viola?
We're going to talk about the mind matrix, the archonic overarching thing that's in all of our faces all the time, and it's too big to even see.
Actually, it is right. It's closer than your breath. And just to start off, we want to just kind of give a little clip of someone who's aware of it, but he's not quite aware of it. Tucker Carlson, this is what Tucker has to say about the whole thing.
There are parts of that story that I do not understand at all that are really, really, really dark. It's so dark that I, you know, haven't told my wife about it. I mean, I haven't verified any of this, but this is not just stuff that I read on the internet. I know you all are very, very grounded in that story, so I think I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff there that's just like, man, I'm not even sure what that means. There's a spiritual component there that I don't fully understand. So yes, that story bothers me. And part of it is the public can't deal with it. It's too far out.
Better too much to discuss with your wife?
I don't know. Like he said, there's a spiritual.
He did, a spiritual component.
I don't know.
Well, it is too far out, but it's beyond UFOs. I mean, Tucker's a little extreme, I think. So he's talking about this very strange agenda that's all around. How would you describe what it's been called, the archonic mind matrix takeover? There's many names for it. How would you describe what it is that Tucker was trying to say there?
Yeah, there's so many things that we could speculate about what he was exposed to. Mm. What was he told that he said had a spiritual component? So because of that piece, we know that he's getting into some of the more esoteric stuff. Some of the things where, you know, that some of the spiritual teachers of the past have talked about, the Gnostic Gospels have talked about.
That's right.
I think that that's what he was kind of getting exposed to.
Well, let's just tell people there is, this is sort of the bottom line. I think, I don't know if Tucker was aware, but there is a force out there that is living off our emotions, our extreme, you know, anxieties, fears, anything that's very extreme emotionality. It's food for these beings that are etheric. Who are these beings, would you say?
Isn't that the big mystery?
Well, there's somebody.
Yeah, there's definitely a force. Is it incarnate? Is it AI? We don't know, but it definitely seems that there is a force behind the veil of all of this.
And it's feeding off of everyone. Everyone's extreme or even not their obsessions, war. War is a huge food for what Carlos Castaneda calls the predators. There's many different, who else did I mention in that paper?
Gurdjieff talks about it.
Yes.
Rudolf Steiner talks about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hints. Carlos Castaneda talks about it. There's hints all over. It's once you start putting the puzzle pieces together, it's right here. It's in front of our face. Every breath. You look around and you see it. There's something here, and it's like I was saying in a little bit, it's so big that it's too big to see.
It's too big to see, and it's too big for most people to notice because they think they are their emotions. That's the thing here.
Yeah.
Like you have this feeling or this obsession or this even addiction, and it's not you, it's the forces that are moving through you that gives that food in the form of energy to these beings. So I don't think they're AI. I think they've been around a long, long time. And they're not, according to Robert Lawler, they're not dimensional beings. Actually, I could show you a clip from Robert Lawler where he talks about them being multi-dimensional beings and etheric beings. And let me see if I can get that clip. But keep talking a little bit while I bring this up.
What's interesting is that, you know, if there is this matrix, as we can commonly call it these days, that is a construct that we are like a farm, like we are in a farm and we are food and fuel for some beings who are nourishing themselves off of our energy or using our energy to fuel this simulation. Either way, how far does it go? How big is this matrix? How multidimensional? And are we in it, or are we in a holographic projection of it that still gets us to generate our energy to fuel it?
It is so big. This is an interview I did with Robert Lawler, who first notified me about this thing. And then once Robert Lawler, who is a genius, he started the term sacred geometry. So I really respect where he's coming from. And so once he said, guess what, there's something here, it was quite shocking. So
you told me coming and diluting our perception were the archons that created a distraction from our natural spiritual process. Can you talk about that?
The archons are a interplanetary species. Mm-hmm. They evolved on the now destroyed fifth planet. And remember, the Earth means terrestrial. It means the TR is the root of three. Mm-hmm. And three is the first number. And so the Earth is the third planet, but the Earth process, I believe, was undertaken on three planets, the third, the fourth, and the fifth.
I mean, the human species, in
yeah,
that sense.
Yeah, yeah. And probably the fifth planet, being that it was is the planet of the golden mean, and also the five sensibilities of human and the five senses, and it's not only the shape of the human body, but the shape of human consciousness. We're a five-fold creature. Mm-hmm. So the archons were born on the fifth planet, and they advanced more rapidly. The intelligence is that planet was devoted to that. And Mars was the emotional, physical planet.
Yes.
And the Earth was the spiritual.
But the Archons, what happened with them?
They developed their technology. The development of the intelligence was so great that they made technologies that destroyed their planet.
But how did their consciousness interrupt our human cycle?
They... when they destroyed their home planet, they had to inhabit a second planet. Mm-hmm. And that planet also was deficient in minerals. Mm-hmm. And so they have been mining the Earth and using people as sort of soldiers and slaves process, and they genetically modified the development of humanity and changed it from being really a reflection of the Earth. We no longer identify ourselves as humans. No species goes around and killing other species over a few words in a book. And it's so bizarre. We are no longer fully human. We're no longer earthlings because of this modification. And this is why this Kali Yuga has to, we will gain a very valuable experience from going through this. It maybe the next time around, and we confront the potentialities of focusing on the manipulation of the material world to serve our desires and needs and enjoyments, we won't choose the technological way of doing it. We'll, at some point, we'll have to understand we have to be born fully through the Earth to fulfill the goal. The natural world is infinitely malleable. Mm-hmm. However, when a civilization centers itself upon the manipulation and exploitation of matter, it is a certain sign of degeneracy.
Yeah. And that's right. That's right.
That, where isn't we are. That excellent? I mean, it's so
it's like
clear.
We didn't have a choice, did we? Because this thing invaded our consciousness.
That's right. I mean, this is a cycle we've had to go through, and we should be learning from this archonic manipulation, not to ever allow this force to overtake us again.
One of the things he said, how we're no longer human. Mm. You know, I wonder, were we ever? And was this designed to be a farm, designed to be a louche farm or a place to harvest energy, or was it hijacked and taken over? And this once was a paradisical earth, or was it designed that way? Is this a bad copy of a good earth? Is this a simulation version of the real? Like, there's so many questions. He seems to be confident in his answers, you know, that he knows that they came from the fifth planet. I don't know that, but I feel pretty certain that we are being harvested.
We are being harvested, and it's every moment of the day, every war that's happening. It people think it's about this or that, religion, land, but it's really about activating these high energy emotions to feed these other beings. This is such a far out phenomenon that Tucker Carlson couldn't tell his wife that, but this is what me and you and a lot of other people are now thinking is going on. It's been going on for thousands and tens of thousands of years. So the way out of it, though, I have some ideas. How do you think the way out of, so these, you know, you have some intense emotion or someone has, and we're just feeding the matrix, but there is a way out.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more maybe about it before we get into that.
Okay, you're right.
Because there's so, like, this could be a new idea for some people, and it's really, really far out to even think of this, that every thought that we have is like, you know, there's like a mantra, like, my thoughts, I am not my thoughts. Thoughts come and go, but I remain. I am not my emotions. Emotions come and go, and I remain. Like, all the Buddhist ideas of separating from our personality. Why is that? Why? Because is it, you know, that they gave us their mind, they gave us the personality. We think that we are these things, and so we're invested in living our life as if our personality matters, our personality and our ideas and our desires, even our dreams. Like, what if it's all a radio broadcast signal to keep us focused on the lower dimensional stuff, on the needs, the desires, the obsessions, the addictions, so that we don't really see what's right in front of us.
Well, it keeps us focused on that because that's the food for these predators. That's the idea. So it doesn't matter what it is. It could be drugs, it could be war, it could be religion, it could be, you know, emotionality in relationships. You know, people get into these patterns of whatever, and people are addicted to their emotions, is what Joe Dispenza says. If you have a feel, if you're angry, you know, and that's food for these archonic beings, your body gets used to the chemicals of anger.
Right.
And so when you start to withdraw and no longer have, it's your body starts to come back to normal. It craves that feeling and will find reasons to get angry. I mean, we all know people who just get angry because that's their way of being.
That's what they're running. Yeah.
That's right. And that's what they think they are. That's the big problem. You think you are your emotion. So I really like what you've done, Viola, is kind of disconnect and step back and, you know, you're not even recording your dreams anymore. Talk about.
You know, as I think more and more about this idea that, you know, even my thoughts, that we have a mind that is like almost a reptilian mind. Boy, doesn't that say something? Mm. But that we are receivers, like radio receivers for frequencies that are putting out to keep us in these lower vibrational energies. Although even positive emotions, I feel, can be food as well, like sports games churches and worship, and where they harness all the energy of everybody, keep excitement. It's like excitement in general can be food. So if I, you know, lately as I keep meditating on this more and more, my dreams, I'm not even believing them. I'm not buying it. Like, they're not mine.
Because you think they're being cycled into you?
Yeah, it's a radio broadcast of discordant energy to keep. And of course, my brain will then take this, receive this, you know, sort of code or whatever, and put it into dreams that are familiar to me. It will translate it into familiar things. And so I'm dreaming with people from my past and this and that, but I don't believe it. I think it's just to keep me focused here and running the system so that I don't connect with source when I'm
But what you're saying is so key to this discussion, is that they are in our heads. They're in our minds. They are manipulating our thoughts, our perceptions, our awareness, our emotions, our psychological life. That's how close this thing is.
Yes,
and
yep.
That's what's so hard for people to believe, because they think they are their thoughts,
their personality, right. their desires, all of it.
Right.
And yet the personality and our preferences don't get to leave this matrix. It is of this matrix.
Oh, wait. Say what? What gets to leave the matrix then?
I think something much more pure and much more like the spirit, the connection to absolute source, that there is that, but there's all these personality stuff that we've been given through our nurturing and through our nature and through the programming that we think is us, and that is what stays here. And as long as we stay focused on that and don't do the inner work of meditation, which disconnects us from that, then we will stay in it. And I think the connection to the source piece, it's right here too. Just like the dark
good.
Agenda is right here
that's
in our
good.
Face. But I think that it's so easy actually to connect to source and to connect to our truth, that the distractions have to be so blatant and so obvious and so in our face 24/7, because it's right here.
That is such a good point. It is right here, and because the vibration, I think, of the earth is shifting, we're closer to it, so the distractions are more intense. You know, how many people, including me, pick up their iPhones the first thing they do in the morning, right?
Right.
Because that's the distraction. If I would just to stay, okay, I'm coming out of an altered dream state, and you know, whether you believe your dreams or not, but it's a disconnection from the matrix, and so you're immediately plugged back in as soon as you pick up your phone or put your computer on or tune in. So, and they are feeding off these forces, this matrix, these beings, that's their food, and our reincarnation cycles are part of it. Some people talk about the light eaters. They say the light, go to the light, but they're eating this whole personality obsession we have, particularly in this country. You know, the cult of the personality is big. That's what Hollywood and television, it's all made of. And that's just food for the archons.
Yeah. And it's like I think we're wired for worship through our makers, you know, if that was the Anunnaki or whatever it was, that there's a certain piece within us that is wired to worship. And so that we would obey these sort of overlords or whatever, but that we take that and translate that into celebrity and things like that.
And the obsession with celebrity, and that everyone has their own TikTok. You know, Andy Warhol said everyone will be famous in the future for 15 minutes. And that's true right now. But there, I don't think there are makers. They're the things in the way. I think
there was a hijack. You're more inclined to think.
Yes. I think maybe it's a test for us to come back to our center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was set up that way intentionally. I think we're here to be free, and maybe as Robert Lawlor says, we're here to be in awareness of our own conscious state, without the external so much, but we're dropped in. Like, I love that line, who kills another people over words in a book?
Right.
That's the matrix. I mean, that's what the news is telling us. That's why people go crazy. You know, those people going into school, doing those awful things, they're just being driven by forces that feed off that total negative energy. Mm-hmm. And they're not even aware of it. People think they are the matrix.
Yeah.
And so what is the way out?
Okay. Let's talk about that. Well, you've got to disconnect from it and you've got to see it. If you don't know you're in a, just like Plato's cave, right? If you don't know that you're in a prison, you're not going to try to get out of the prison. And so the first step is a stark reality, to be willing to look at all of this, all the different sources that talk about this, you know, Sri Aurobindo and Gurdjieff and the Gnostic texts, and looking at near-death experiences, not maybe the 85% that talk about go to the light and all is good, but the people who were come back and reporting being manipulated on the other side to keep feeding the system. Like, start to look at all of that, and a big picture starts to present itself that is obvious once you see it.
Right, and also start looking at your own personal motivations, your own even romantic fantasies, your own obsession with food or this or baseball teams. It's all about something else. It's and people start to identify with these external things, that's who, that's my political party. That's, you can't insult someone's identification because they have lost their humanity and become the projected identity.
Yeah.
That's the problem here. So by coming back to our humanity, which is like being the observer, we're observing it all and not letting, you know, someone calls your mother a name, you're gonna, you know, it's like that. So we keep protecting our false identity because that's not us. So
right. And so, as soon as you react, respond,
right,
and to the matrix, whatever it throws at you, then it's got you. And you're now you're feeding it and you're reacting emotionally. You're going into fear. You're going into anger. And now you've fed the system and it's got you in its claws again. And so I think really the answer is being in the heart. It's truly being in the heart. So the more that we can say, no, thank you, I'm not buying it. No, I'm not going to buy into it. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. And staying in the heart, right? Neti, neti, not this, not this, not this, not this. Just staying in the heart, staying centered. Then we are not as susceptible to it anymore. We can't be controlled. We can't be manipulated because the heart is a place of unity consciousness. It's pure. Whereas the mind, the nice dualistic organ, is such a great receiver for this. But in the purity and the unity of the heart, there's none of that.
No, that's a good point. That is because so getting back to the heart is just staying in the oneness and observing and feeling without, you know, I always make a difference, a distinction between feeling and emotion. We're here to feel, but the emotionality, it's what feeds those forces. So every moment is a feeling sensation, but we're here to observe and feel the sensation without indulging in the drama of the feeling. So by disconnecting from the dramas that people run all the time, that's still more food for those things. But by being in the heart and feeling, which is what happens when you're in the heart, then everything just kind of comes through you without the reaction, without the drama, without the kind of addictive emotionality that people are run by. I think that's something. So if we can stay in that place, Carlos Castaneda's teacher Don Juan says, you're no longer food for these beings. I mean, I don't know if people are really getting that there's these beings feeding off every thought we're having.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I'm glad I met you. You're one of the few people who really understand it and feel it. And I think once people get the idea, I mean, Robert Monroe called that energy loose.
Loosh.
And it's a substance of a sorts. And by talking about this idea, people can start to disconnect from that mind matrix. Paul Levy talks about Wetiko.
Right.
He says, I mean, I disagree with Paul because he says that's an internal process of the mind to sabotage itself. But I think it's also an external. Right.
I think he's correct. It is internal and in the mind. But to take it one step further is where does that mind thought come from?
Right.
If they gave us their mind, then we're aligned with that. And it goes beyond that.
Right. They gave us their mind and we think it's our mind. That's the shocking thing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and people, you know, another thing that Castaneda or Don Juan says that people may even agree with that, but that's what gives their life a story, you know?
Yeah.
And they identify with the story because that's who they think they are. And I think as we kind of raise the vibrational field above story, above the history and the things that have attached us to the past, we can start to free ourselves from all the old identities. Because identity itself is a mind possession, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think it is. And if you take it to an extreme example, like somebody who's blackout drunk in a bar, right?
Right?
And then they're having spirits, you know, and then like entities will often possess people who are inebriated or on drugs or in alcohol.
Right.
And then it's like an obvious thing where then that energy of those entities have come in and are now inhabiting that body and taking it for a joyride. And like to just, that's a gross example of, I think, what's happening to people all the time on a daily basis, where they are having emotions and moods that are being directed, so because it's fuel and it's food. Mm. And so even your identity, you have to dismantle it completely if you're going to get out, if you're going to get free of this structure. You have to keep looking, why, who is having this thought? Why am I having this thought? And keep even your whole identity has to go until you realize that I am not my body. You know, I am not my thoughts. Thoughts come and go, but I remain all of that.
I'm not my history. I'm not my
preferences.
Yeah. But I think the idea is the best example, and it's the most going into a bar, you feel these entities around. People getting drunk are feeding those entities through their, you know, inebriated state, which is really food for the alcoholic non-physical entities.
Right, and people do things all the time in altered states of consciousness or inebriation that they would never do otherwise, because probably it's not them.
It isn't.
They're letting that, you know, once your field is down enough through drugs or some other thing, you can let things in. And then it really maybe wasn't them.
Well, you know, I'll tell a personal story of how I kind of got into it. Like, my mother, very loving at times, but there were moments where I would see this change in this personality and this hysteria, and that was not the same person. I mean, yes, it was her psychological stuff, but it was also something else that was coming through and said, wow, I mean, she's not schizophrenic because everyone goes through these intense emotions, but there was a shift that I noticed that was different than the person I knew. And it's like, what's going on there? You know, and everyone has those extreme moments of where you get angry at someone and it's just like you become sort of irrational, and there's extremes and levels of that. But that irrational or that kind of reactive state is the archonic energy coming through us. And so you're right. It's the most gross example is in bars, but even drug addicts. Do you ever notice how, if you look at these like cocaine addicts, their face actually all looks the same? I mean, they take on the kind of facial image of the entity.
You know, the work of Thomas Mayer, who's a Gurdjieff healing practitioner, you know, he has some work out there, and he'll talk about how every different drug has an entity attached to it. And so that makes sense that if you're, you know, merging with that, that you're going to start to look like that energy.
Right. They do. It starts to come through them. Alcoholics, you know, have that puffy face. So it's not like we're saying anything like negative against the person. It's just realizing that we are all being taken over by these invisible or multi-dimensional forces, and no one's talking about this.
Yeah, it's true.
No one's.
People are starting to, which is interesting and delightful to see. To go back to my analogy that I was touching on a little bit about waking up from dreams and not buying it. Like, you know, when you're in that half sleep state and you are, running a story, like something matters, like, oh, I've got to go do this thing and put this thing in the cabinet, you know, whatever it is. But then you you wake up to it and you realize, why is my mind spinning on this? It means nothing. And so those kind of dream little things that are happening, as soon as I catch them, I go, it's not mine, not me, reject it, and I push it away. And then I come back to the pure essence. It's like a choice. It's there is the more you hone in on it, it's like you have a choice to receive the broadcast or not. And when you reject the broadcast and you stay in pure presence, it's right here, and it's amazing and beautiful, and it's like prana, and like this, the God particles are everywhere, and it's so in our face because it's behind all of this too. Like, it's not just that the dark is energy is here everywhere, so is the light, and so is source, and so it's so right in our faces that it's, once we start to pull away from it, it gives us the glimpses of it.
You're much more evolved than I am. I'm still attached to my dreams. And no, you are, because it's like, oh yeah, that was interesting. But you're right. I think I'm being sucked in by something else because it's taking me just from the presence of my being. It's like
into some story.
It's always some story.
Story is the possession, actually, isn't it?
Wow. Legacy. Story, you're identifying, we're in Sedona. Sedona is an entity unto itself, right?
Or people. So much story around it.
Oh, yeah. The story is the entity that's somehow feeding these other levels of being. And it's all the story, legacies, yeah, family,
right?
Religion,
sports games, all of it.
Nationalities, mm-hmm, everything that's making us not being fully in the heart human is feeding those beings.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's right here, but I also like what you said, the other thing is right here. The heart, the purity, the presence is also right here.
And then there's the thought of, mm-hmm, that we are the ones who are the creators, and that we are more powerful than these archonic energies, because we as humans, in this unique piece of duality that we have, we are able to create in this hologram or whatever it is. We, mm-hmm, can create our thoughts, we, mm-hmm, can create our wishes, we can create from our heart, we can create from the duality of the mind. But because of that, mm-hmm, all they can do to get us to continue to be fuel, mm-hmm, for their system is to manipulate us to create it ourselves. So hence programming.
Manipulate it. So we have created the archonic. Would you say that? We are creating all of this, the source, everything, and we've created this kind of negative part. So to find ourselves, to, mm-hmm, remind us to come back to center. That's not exactly what you said.
Not exactly that. No, I don't know that we've created the archonic piece.
Well, I think
maybe
we
on some
did.
Meta level. Yeah.
Because we've created all, and it was all about, you know, mm-hmm, the, mm-hmm, process of incarnating, and we created distractions, we created our iPhones, and we can either go with the program that has this mind of its own, or we can step back and say, oh yeah, we created that, let's come back home.
Right, we can, mm-hmm, choose what we create.
But I think you were saying something different though.
A little bit.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Because there's layers, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I was saying is that as the radio broadcast, as, mm-hmm, I'll call it, of, you know, chaotic frequencies, mm-hmm, and lower vibrational frequencies comes in, mm-hmm, that encourages us to then be hateful and be, mm-hmm, obsessed with addictions or wars or, mm-hmm, sex or whatever the things are that we're obsessed with. It's like invitations, and then all the predictive programming and all of Hollywood keeping us focused on these lower energies through, mm-hmm, the movies, mm-hmm, and everything that keeps people, so that we end up creating those energies ourselves, because they can't do it. They're not that powerful. Mm-hmm. They got a radio broadcaster, but they need us to create the lower vibrational realm that feeds them. Because unto ourselves, if we only knew how powerful we are and what creators we are, mm-hmm, we could very easily create a world that doesn't feed them at all, and then they starve out.
You're right. That is what Castaneda says. We are feeding them because they've given us these illusionary thoughts of, like I said, the cult of personality. Look at the like pop stars.
Right.
They become worshipped by other people. You know, what's her name? Who's the big one now? Taylor Swift, right? She herself may be okay, but the people then idolize her, and that's just, it doesn't matter if it's her or someone else. These beings are feeding off that idolization, that star worship, and it doesn't matter who it is.
And inevitably, if somebody gets, mm-hmm, that big and they start having that much adoration, mm-hmm, they start doing sort of dark ritual on the stage. And I even have seen clips of that with Taylor Swift, like some very dark ritualistic stuff on stage to harness that energy.
But she doesn't even know what she's doing, because she herself aborted the illusion of herself.
Yep, right.
And that's the odd thing here. I mean, all of us have bought the illusion of our own personality, our own identity. This is my name, this is my family, this is my history, this is who I am. You know, all our habits, all our patterns,
all our stories,
they're all feeding that. So it's so much in our face, and yes, let's keep remembering that other side,
right? Because we're in duality, so if that is in our face, so is this.
That's it. So what's a good way to remind ourselves that heart space is right here all the time?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
So with the breath, for me, you know, I breathe into the heart, you know, all the time, and really inhabit this place. So, you know, I'm a facilitator for Drumbolo Melchizedek's Awakening the Illuminated Heart Workshop, and we learn to get out of the duality of the mind into the unity of the heart. And I do that practice all the time, every day, all the time, of like taking my seat of my consciousness and moving it from the mind down into the heart with my breath and living from here. And when I'm in the unity of the heart, I'm not in the duality of the mind, and it's not that as much of a roller coaster.
So when you live here, but that's okay, but what are you feeling when you're living here? How does that
Yeah, it feels like presence and warmth and peace, and like I'm not buying into the whirlwind around the center of the, little like the center of the hurricane, right? Where you're just in that center and it's all spinning all around. And the constant reminder that, you know, I am not my thoughts, I am not my emotions, I am not my preferences. They come and go, but I remain. I am pure consciousness. I am, you know, unlimited expression of creativity. I am unconditional love. And those types of affirmations keep me centered here.
You know, this reminds me of a conversation I had with Jim Newman. Did you see my Jim Newman interview? He says there's no Jim. There's no story of Jim. And the story is what keeps us trapped. And let me see if I can just play that, because it's actually one of my favorite interviews, because I had no idea what he was talking
about.
That's
great.
But he was trying to tell me something here.
How would you describe what it is that you want to communicate to people?
Well, there's nothing I want to communicate to people, but what's communicated is the recognition that the person, the individual, is an illusion.
Right, that's what I wrote on your website. But we still, I feel like I've asked this question for so many people, but we still exist, me and you. We're people.
Well, there's an apparent existence.
Yeah.
So the body is an appearance.
Right. And there's personality and preferences.
But there's nothing in it.
There's nothing in the body.
Right.
Really? I don't know if I get that.
Well, I don't.
You don't get it.
No.
But you've had
Nobody gets it. And it's not an experience.
It's not an experience.
No.
What is it?
It's a recognition.
When you say there's no one in it, what about these thoughts that are running through the head?
Well, the person doesn't think. What appears is just nothing appearing. It's just what seems to be happening.
So there's something seems to be happening.
Apparently,
And everybody's made a big deal about it.
Well, what happens is, in this happening,
there
forms a center for no reason called an I. And that's when the big deal shows up.
The big deal mean phenomenon, religion, and political...
Well, the effort to find out the problem of what I am. When I shows up, there's an immediate sense of separation. The sense of I am here, and everything else is out there. And I need to defend myself. I need to be a certain way to get happiness, joy, to
and
find...
And to define yourself. I
find
am this.
Fulfillment. Well, it's a false claim. It's a false claim because this, the appearance, is already everything, is already wholeness.
The appearance.
It's already clear.
What do you mean, the appearance?
Complete.
Of the being?
Anything that's happening is an appearance.
Okay. This is an appearance.
Everything is an appearance. Everything is an appearance.
And this is it?
This is an appearance, yeah.
And so there's nothing more to it than this?
No.
This is it. This is the totality.
This is the totality, right? This is what is and isn't.
It isn't.
What is
and
isn't.
It isn't. Mm-hmm. It is because we're obviously here.
Yeah, and it's empty.
I don't quite get, because I guess I've built up such...
We can't get it. It's not to be God. Seriously, that's the thing. That's what the me is in. That's the trap of the me, is it wants to know.
Yeah.
So it wants to understand because it's got a problem.
What's
the biggest? The biggest problem is death, but it's experienced as separation from everything.
And death isn't that.
There's no such thing as death.
There's no such thing as death. Well, how can you say that?
Well, of course, I can't say that. No one can say that. There just isn't any death because there never was anything that was born.
Yeah, I've heard this before. I'm trying to really get what...
You won't get it.
Okay, so how will... But you're getting it.
I don't get it. Nobody gets it. We're talking about unknowing.
Unknowing.
Absolutely.
But something's speaking about
that. That's right.
That.
Nothing's speaking about unknowing.
Nothing's speaking to nothing.
Nothing's speaking to nothing. Exactly.
But I still think I'm a something.
I know.
I mean, but you don't. I mean...
Well, there isn't anyone.
You really feel that, but you answer to a name.
Yeah, absolutely. There's conditioning.
Right, okay.
In the appearance, the story stays exactly the same. There's no need for detachment.
Okay.
There's no need for change. There's no need for anything, actually.
Mm-hmm. But that's just a story, and that's not real. That's a fabrication.
Well, it's real and unreal. The only completely unreal part of the appearance is the sense of separate self. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's completely unreal. And that imbues the entire appearance with meaning and purpose that is also completely unreal.
The sense of self is the illusion.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all walking around in the illusion of.
Well, there's no we, but there might be the experience there of being a separate sense of self that's walking around.
There is, because I'm not experiencing there.
I'm not either.
You're not either.
No.
You're not. When you say I'm not,
yeah.
What part of the, what does I mean that I'm not?
It's just an expression. It doesn't mean anything.
I think that's extreme, and I mean, maybe it's true, but it's another level of right. what we're talking about.
It does seem that the further I keep going in my path, it's all undoing. It's all like, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, until all that's left is maybe something that he's talking about there, but that nothing can really point to it, and you have to just undo everything. That part I get, but I don't necessarily have the tangible experience that he's...
I think he does have it, but there is a Jim Newman, but he says that's not real. There is no, like, there's me. I mean, I think maybe they are kind of forces so deep inside of us that even though we have to call ourselves something individuated, could that also be feeding these beings? Because we're involved in our own, you know, you have your life and your people and... Is that a deeper level of this loosh that's out there? Because when you come to that heart center, there is no you. There's no you wanting anything. You're just...
It's true. There isn't, is there? Yeah. You know, this one we learn in the workshop that I facilitate, how to create from the heart, how to create reality rather than the duality from the mind, from the unity of the heart. And every time I've tried to do it, if I go into my heart, like I got something I want to create, like I want to have a healing center or I want to do a thing. When I really do the meditation and totally go into my heart, it doesn't matter anymore. And I don't want to create anything. And everything is fine just the way it is. It's only when I'm not there that I want anything or any preferences. But when I'm in that true state, there is no desire.
So you think it's that deep in us that these little wants, these little things are food as well? I mean, that's a whole other subtle level.
Yeah, that's so subtle. Does every single thing feed the matrix? I don't know if it does.
But unless you're like Eckhart Tolle, the power of now, so present. I mean, I don't even know if he probably has his own stuff. He still has a name, all that. But maybe the real presence of being is to let everything go and just be without anything, without, you know,
to not buy into any of it.
Yeah, even your own like agendas.
Is that the way?
Because then
you could be what some call a ghost walker.
Well, you're
barely on the planet. You're barely here. You're just one foot out the door. And are you really helping?
No,
are you doing anything?
I think you can also be the avatar.
Yeah,
you know, and being pure love. I mean, there have been some great avatars that are, you know, I think Jesus said, look at the valley, the lilies of the valley, they want not, but they're always being fed. There's a thing about presence that we're still not embracing because we're under the illusion we have to do something. And I want to do something.
I think a lot of us have that story that we wouldn't be here otherwise.
Well, I think there's something fun and passionate in a good way about doing something just for doing it without...
I don't know that every story feeds it. Like, maybe there are stories that are in innocence and they don't do that. Because it's true. I love being an existential detective. I love trying to map the exit.
And I think that's okay, though.
It brings me joy and I feel like it helps.
I think so. And are you feeding that level of matrix mind that wants you to feel that?
I don't know.
But maybe you're not. I don't think so either.
I think it's lower vibrational energies are denser food substances. And the answer really does seem to be being in the heart where the energies are higher, connecting to the Christ consciousness grid or the consciousness that is like the purity that then we are not food.
And I think
you're
right.
So if you're acting from that, in whatever story you're doing, and if you think you're here as a light worker or whatever, then I think it's maybe not as appealing of a food, and maybe you're in different levels of degrees of breaking food.
No, I think that what you just said is really right on, because it's the heavy emotionality, it's the wanting, this is mine, the jealousy, the anger, the even depression, those lower levels are what feeds. But then when you're here to follow your passion, if it's pure and aligned with your heart, that isn't food. That is the purpose of incarnation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's where I disagree with Jim from, because Jim says there's nothing.
No point,
nothing to do.
Right.
Not that there isn't a point, That's not even the point. There isn't, and there is.
There's still a Leela. There's still like a play playing out here in some way. And whether it's just a Leela and we're here to help flip this planet to the light or not, like, yeah, it doesn't, does it all feed it?
No, I think you're onto something, because the Leelas of one's own self-investment, this is me, that's the lower level. But the play of let's send love, let's do something for someone else, let's encourage real passion for your gifts, that's the higher levels, I feel. I mean, what do I know? Because I'm still in the Leela. But I think that's true. I think we can feel the difference, because the emotionality, I think it really comes down to the heavy emotions that people get caught up in, like at football games and political elections and politicians in general. They're feeding and wars. Look how intense wars and the different sides, and then the world comes. I mean, it's just feeding that. And then if there's the people of peace that just want to live in harmony, that's a different Leela.
I do actually ping pong back and forth between investing in what you're just saying,
and then
sometimes thinking this is a lower vibrational realm. Third density is just a lower vibrational realm designed to be this way, and it's always going to be a discordant note, and it's always going to be a little off. And as long as I'm investing my energy in trying to make it better, I'm feeding it with my energy.
I don't know.
And so I ping pong back and forth, and then I'm like, no, I'm here to help. I'm here to be in service. I'm going to be, shining light, or just be like a radiator of good energy. But then sometimes I'm not going to feed it at all. It's designed to this. I don't want it to hook me.
No, but if you're invested in yourself being the radiant energy, that's where they hook you, I feel. But if you're just here,
right,
and without the personal agendas, it's me that's radiating, but you're just a vehicle for the heart and the light.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the pure, it's not food, but it's the energy of the source.
Yeah, because that's, you're also just... It's like I really think of being a sun. Like I want to be like a sun, where the sun just radiates. It doesn't matter who the sun radiates to or whatever. It's just being the light and with no expectation whatsoever.
Right.
And so that's the dance, right? Can we just be that and have no attachment to any of it?
Well, I think that's a good place to kind of leave people and realize, like, watch your own thoughts. Are you overly charged about something that is taking you away from your center? Because if you are, I guess we can say you're feeding the mind matrix. I mean, that's what we're at least agreeing on.
And pay attention to all of it, all the stories you tell yourself, all the preferences that you have, all of it, and start to dismantle everything and see how much of it is programming that you've received or have cultivated, and then what's truly really you. And that's a journey of a whole life, right? But that's I think starts to map the pathway to get ready.
Disconnect from the identities you've taken on about whatever you call yourself, American or religion or Democrat, Republican, these are all stories that are not you. You know, there's my favorite line in this book that JJ wrote. It's a New Yorker cartoon. There's a guy at a bar and he's yelling at the bartender saying, "Hey pal, you have no idea who I think I am." So all the things you think you are is food for the main, because like we're just here,
and staying in the heart.
Okay.
Right? It's just like breathing, living from here. And anytime you're spinning in here, just bring it back down. Anchor into the unity of the heart that's out of the duality. This is the way out of the matrix, out of all of it, into the unified field, anchoring in the heart and not buying into any of the stuff that they're throwing at us.
Is anchoring into the heart still a sort of program? Is there a way to even go beyond that?
Yeah, it's true. To my understanding is that the heart is a portal. It's a doorway into the unified field, into the oneness that's beyond the construct of this matrix. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about the heart. It's not even about our heart chakra. Mm-hmm. It's about the portal that connects in to the oneness point.
Right. I mean, maybe the way I would say it, I mean, you have your own, it's just like we are merging with the forever existence that's always flowing through us. This is what the Australian Aborigines say. The dream time is the true human being. When we tap into this flow without attaching to this or that, we're in the kind of sacred source that's feeding us all the time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks, Viola, for having the conversation. And thank you all for listening. We have a nice chat online.
Oh, nice.
World Divine Beings of Light says Albina. Thank you, Albina. And Mimi, little bit of a giggle here. They're watching Ali get a straight answer from. Oh, that's right. That was Jim Newman. Comment on the Jim Newman. Yeah, so thank you. How do people find you and your wisdom?
Ah, so my name is Viola Rose, and my website is violarose.com. And I am a facilitator for Drumbolo Melchizedek's Awakening the Illuminated Heart to help people get into their heart, activate the Merkaba from the heart. And that's all on my website, as well as sound healing and music and many other offerings. And I'm in the Sedona, Arizona area.
Okay, and you get a private session.
Yeah.
With somebody that's not here. No.
Yeah. With the not me, that's me. Yeah.
Right. And I'm Alan Steinberg. Thanks so much for watching this program. And subscribe. Also, take out a super chat, not for me, but for the cause. Thanks so much. Thanks, Viola. Bye.